for the finance class, I had note, you know, something you can take notes on every week. And did you not get one? I don't know. I think taking notes is important. So if you are interested in writing some of these things down, then please do. And the things that we're talking about this morning, I'm sure all of us have thought about before. It's not going to be anything new, but I think it would be good for us to do it as a class and take notes, and then that way you actually have it written down where we're going to go, where you're going to go from here. And what we're going to talk about is Jesus. Now, in the book, the next chapter, chapter 8, is talking about those who are obsessed. Being obsessed with Christ, being obsessed with God. And in a good way, you know, that all of your attention and all of your focus is on Christ and living your life for Him. And it goes through and says, you know, those who are obsessed have these characteristics. They do this, and they're like this, and they're like this. And if you want to read the book and come at it from that perspective, that's fine. I kind of wanted to come at it from a little bit different perspective. I wanted us to look at Christ, to look at characteristics of Jesus, because that's who we're supposed to emulate, right? That's who we're supposed to try our best to be like. And we've all done this before. We've all thought, okay, what is Christ like? What are characteristics about Him? What kind of guy was He? Right? And I know that Jesus was God, so I don't want to bring that down, but He came and lived as a man. And what kind of characteristics did He have? And I want us to discuss that, and you know, whatever you have to add to this discussion, and we're just going to take notes about what kind of what Christ was like, and who He spent His time with, and what His focus was. And then we'll get that list, we'll get this kind of picture, almost, if you will, of who Christ was. Then we can see, okay, at the bottom of the list, and that'll be kind of your homework, at the bottom of the page there, you know, which of these characteristics are come naturally for me. You know, there are some characteristics that might come naturally. Christ was a servant, right? Some people, it might come more naturally for them to be a servant. So, which ones of these come more naturally for you? Which ones are more difficult for you? And then from there, what is your next step? Where are you going to go from here? Trying to become more like Christ. Trying to live your life for Him. And so I want to go ahead and just start with a few and just be thinking about some things. Oh yeah, pens. I have some spares. Anybody need a pen? Rich and Des? I have no idea if it works. If it doesn't work, just... Anybody else? We're all good? All right. Okay, I think some of the most important things from the very beginning are that Jesus completely... And this is what we're trying to get to, right? We're trying to get to surrendering ourselves to God. And that's what I opened up to you guys about last week, is that I just hadn't felt like I've been giving my heart to God the way I should be. And so, Jesus did. Jesus completely surrendered Himself, and this was the first thing for me. He didn't hold anything back. He was not distracted by the things of the world. He completely surrendered Himself. And from a very young age, we see Jesus doing the will of His Father and going about. At age 12, He was in the temple, right? And His parents were looking for Him. And when they finally found Him, remember what they said, John? What He said? Where have you been, Jesus? We've been looking all over for you. What did He say? I've been doing my Father's business. I've been doing my Father's will from the very young age. And then later on, in the Gospels, we see what He says. He says, the words that He was speaking were not His own. They were His Father's words. What I say and why I speak, it's not my own. I'm speaking what the Father would have me speak and the will of my Father. And one thing about that, I think this is important too. When Christ was going around speaking the things his Father would have him to speak, he was doing it in a very direct way, wasn't he? He was actually going around telling people, this is what I want to tell you. Right? And I'm contrasting that to us, or at least me. Sometimes I feel like if I'm just a really nice guy, you know, if I just would be really nice and polite and somebody that people will see that. People will see, man, there's something different about Chris, and they'll want to ask me about it. And then at that point, I can teach about Jesus. You know, they'll ask me, and then I can open up. And that's good. You know, that's definitely good. You should live your life as, you know, somebody that has the light of God shining through you. That's definitely good. But I think sometimes we leave our, what we have to say about Christ, you know, that's the way we leave it. That's all we'll do. You know, we never speak directly about Christ. We never speak directly about God. We just kind of live nice and try to make it look, you know, not make it look like, or we just try to live a life just being very nice so that people will open up and ask us, and then we can discuss it. No, Jesus was very direct. He was very specific about going around speaking what his Father would have him to speak. And I think we need to be more direct and more specific and open up and have that as part of our normal communication. And I know there are definitely situations like, you know, I go to customers' houses all the time and I have my little sample box of my blinds and shutters and all that. And it's not like I'm going to go up to them and say, okay, I have these samples here and we're going to pick out exactly how you want your shutters to be. And then I'm going to take the measurements and I'm going to give you an estimate. And then we're going to sit down and have a Bible study. You know, I don't think that would work real well. But in communicating with that customer, I could definitely do a better job throughout the conversation about making my faith more known to them. Opening up and just letting them know in different ways that I believe in God. That is a big part of my life. Not trying to push that on them necessarily, but just thanking God. You know, if they say, it's a nice day today, you can just say, you know, yeah, God has really blessed us with a nice weather or something like that. You know, just say something so that they know where you're coming from. You don't have to have a Bible study or something with everybody. But then those who you're closer to, you can definitely open up and then have more specific conversation with them about Christ. Okay. Another thing about Jesus is that he had a very committed and passionate love for God, didn't he? What was Jesus' first and main command to us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wasn't it? And is that something he commanded to us and just left it for us to do? Obviously not. He lived that. That's what he did. Okay. Another thing about Christ, another characteristic, if you will, he knew Scripture, didn't he? How well did Christ know Scripture? Well, when he was in the wilderness, he was being tempted by the devil. And the devil was throwing Scripture at him, right? He was saying, no, listen, this is what Scripture actually says. The Scripture was his protection. You know, he used that against the devil. Rich, I don't mind. I hope you don't mind if I pick on you for a second, but I think before, there have been times where I've been with you in a class and you've said, from the standpoint of being a Jewish, Jesus was a Jewish boy, right? So how well did Jewish boys have to know Scripture?
By age 12, they had to know the first 5 books by heart. Quote them. Literally, by age 12. books, they would ask them what was said in chapter, verse, and they could quote it. Now, if they wanted to continue their education, they had to know all the prophets. But by age 16, they could quote the entire Old Testament if they continued their education.
Jewish boy knew Scripture. Jesus knew what,
not just
what
boys,
it said in God's Word.
The girls had to know Psalms and Proverbs.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I was looking for. I thought I'd heard you say that before. So, and the point again, the point of me of us going over this is how can we be more like Christ? So, as we're talking about these different aspects and different characteristics of Christ, think about how can I be more like Christ, more like my Savior, more like my Lord, who I'm trying my best, even though I'm not perfect like He was. I'm trying my best to be like Him. So that's just a few to get us started. Does anybody have any? I mean, the list could potentially be very long. So, who would like to share something? And it could be, you know, it doesn't have to be, but it could be maybe a characteristic that you have that you feel like maybe do a good job of being like Christ in this certain way. Could be something else about Christ.
I think it is very heartfelt. I mean, obviously, but like, I'm thinking of like, when he was looking at Jerusalem, he was like, long have I wanted you to come follow me and, you know, take you in, under my wing and everything else, and yet Jerusalem didn't. I mean, you could just tell that there's so much, you know, compassionate feelings towards Jerusalem and how, you know, it was really a struggle, like a burden for him that was just painfully weighing him down.
Mm-hmm.
And in another spot you can see it is when he's praying in the garden and he's sweat drops of blood. You know, he's just, whatever he did, it was full hearted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a drive, you know, to say, that he had that was just beyond anything I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. And then I think going along with that, it was very real for him. Like he especially when he prayed, like in the garden, you could see it, the sweat drops of blood and the grief that he had. He was real and he opened up to God about that. He's like, he was afraid. He was afraid of what was going to happen to him. He said, if there's any other way, God, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done. Yeah, so I think he was definitely very heartfelt.
He was also compassionate. Matter if he was going somewhere else, he would stop and heal the sick or whoever came.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the need of those around him and he did something about it.
And going along with that, who did Jesus spend his time with?
Those that could fund him.
Those that could fund him?
Yeah.
Yeah, the charitable givers.
All the wealthy people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
right.
The ones that could, you know, take care of him.
Uh-huh. Okay. So his needs could be provided for.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. No, he spent his time with those who had need. Right? The lower people, if you will. And then he would fulfill their needs. If there were people would just wait in line essentially to be healed, and Jesus would heal them all. But that's the kind of people he spent his time with, the tax collectors. He would have dinners with tax collectors and the sinners. I think Dave mentioned this a few weeks ago. At this congregation, we do have an opportunity to that is a little bit unique in that we have families and people that we know are in need of things more than, you know, more than maybe other congregations do. I think sometimes, especially for those like Christmas drives and that kind of thing, sometimes churches are looking for, it's like, who's a family that I can help? Or that we can help as a congregation. And they, you know, they're looking for that. They don't know any family, just maybe right offhand. Whereas, you know, we're like, okay, which one of our families can we help out for Christmas or whatever? I think as Christians, at some point in our Christian walk or during our Christian walk throughout the whole thing, we need to be associating ourselves with those who have need. Those who are in need. That's what Christ did. That's who Christ hung out with. You know, and here at this congregation, we have that opportunity, you know. So how plugged in are we with that opportunity? And if you're, you know, not necessarily that you have to be so involved here, that, I mean, there are other ways to be involved with those who are in need, but we have a good opportunity here to do that. So
I think going along with what you're saying, what Rich said, he saw people as individuals. He didn't see like a mass of people. He saw hearts and souls. He didn't see, and that's why he didn't care whose house he was in, because they were a person. They weren't just some random tax collector, random person. They were actually an individual.
Well, he did it with humility. Sometimes when I work with someone that I really just don't really care for or something, I always feel like, wow, I had such pity on them. I was a good person. I talked to them today, you know, even though they weren't maybe the most desirable person, as if, like, I was doing them a favor. It's almost condescending. Like, you have pity on someone, but you don't really see yourselves as level. You know, wow, I gave to that homeless person. How good of me, because you're still, in my mind, elevating myself. Like, I put pity on them. Not that I'm just as low as they are, and I really, like she said, see this person as a person. You kind of, in your mind, even though I'm not really saying it, patting yourself on your back like I did a good deed today. Mm-hmm. Not that I just benefited from that person as much as they did. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus was that humble.
Mm-hmm.
I can come off, I think, as condescending.
Mm-hmm. Which is why he said what he did say about the Pharisees. He said, when you do something, do it in secret. Because he said, if you do it for people to see it, that's the only reward you're going
to
get.
And even in secret, though, I'm saying to myself, I can think, wow, I just did, you know, I mean, you lose sight. You think, I just did a charity for that person.
But, you know, the concept is the same. The concept is the same. Whatever, whether we do it for just ourselves to see or others to see it, if our motivation is for me to feel better, you think, that's all you're going to get from it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's all we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something to make me feel better. Right now. And Jesus said, if that's all you want, that's what you're going to get. You don't do it for that purpose.
Yeah.
He didn't do a lot of things to make him feel better. Although he could have.
Yeah.
It's the concept that goes all the way back to the beginning. God has always wanted us to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
If it didn't cost you anything, that's what it was worth. To God.
Mm-hmm.
If it didn't cost you anything, time, money, effort, then really what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
God can get that anywhere he wants. We pay attention to the things that we want to put effort into. And if you don't believe that, just listen to conversations around the office. You can know real quick what people are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
By how much time they spend talking about it.
Mm-hmm. You'll know them by their fruits, right?
Exactly. I mean, I can tell you almost to the person what football team they like. Because they make sure they talk about it, they go to the game, they fuss about the bad calls. Haven't heard anybody talk about a sermon that hurt.
Yeah.
Haven't heard anybody talk about a work that was going on. it's only focused on the things we are willing to spend our time for. I love that comment. I don't have time. You know how much time the average person watching television a day?
The stat that I saw said 4 hours.
That's low.
Who has 4 hours?
It's six.
Yeah. Oh. Six? Anybody watch 6 hours of TV?
Well, that's the average.
Okay.
That means most of us, if we're less than that, we're busy.
Yeah.
We got other things, but it don't mean we're... Just because you are busy, I got a guy at the office works 50 hours a week. He gets done less than anybody else. He's busy all the time. He's not productive.
Gotcha.
Just because you are busy doesn't mean you're doing what you should do. You got 5 kids at home from the age of 16 to 4. I think he's trying to stay at the office.
Let's get away from the family. Yeah. I think also going along with humility is, you know, Christ was trying to teach about humility, too. Trying to teach those around him to be humble. What would he say? You know, if you want to be the greatest, be the what? Be the least. Be the lowest one. Be the least. If you're going to go sit at a table, sit where? At the foot of the table, the lowest place. You know, just make that a habit. Be like that. Be humble. All you can move is up at that point if they invite you to sit at a higher place. But don't start there. Start humbly, the lowest place.
And be willing to do things that you think are beneath you.
Okay, that leads us to another one. What was Christ?
He was a servant.
A servant.
Yeah.
He was willing to do.
I'm going to take care of other needs before mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He should, as the teacher, he should never have washed his own feet.
Exactly. Peter didn't want him to.
No. And definitely a Jewish rabbi would not wash the feet of his students. Unheard of. Because they literally were, I mean, they were traveling schools, if you really get down to it. Gamaliel and the ones we read about, he had it up to 20 students that paid him to be his student. And they lived with him everywhere he went. A disciple literally means one who wants to be like. They weren't trying to learn what he had to say. They were trying to emulate that person to be exactly like he was.
Mm-hmm.
They put him on a pedestal and said, I want to be like you. Not just what you say. I want to learn everything you do and be just like you. It's what a disciple truly means. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Which is kind of interesting because the yoke is what each rabbi taught. That was his philosophy.
It was called a yoke?
It was called a yoke. Because it comes from the concept of what he put two oxen in so that they pull together. Right? They all have to work in the same order. And the yoke is what keeps them together. And so the rabbi had a specific teaching, and each one was different. And some were very hard. Jesus said, mine's easy. Easy as can be. What? He quoted it.
Love God.
That's right. And?
Love people.
That's right. It's easy. Until you try to do it. But that was why he had so many followers to start with until they found out what that really meant. When did they start going away from him? When he told them what it truly meant. Leave your mom, leave your dad. In other words, everything has to be more important than these things. The same thing with the rich young ruler, as we call him. He was a good person, no doubt about it. He, in his own the words. I've done all of these from my youth. Mm-hmm. Well, now, what's left? Which should have been easy if he did all of the things he said he had done.
His heart.
His heart. And he wasn't willing to put in the effort to do it, which is what God wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I've restarted reading at the beginning of the Bible, and I've gotten up to Numbers in the last couple months, and just going back through Exodus and Leviticus, looking at the things that God said I want the people to do, and how often it said they complain. After he was blessing them, they said, "We want food." So he gave them food. And food that tasted like honey. And they get sick of it. "Oh, I want something different. Okay, I'll bring you quail."
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, I'm tired of quail. Oh, there's no water." And you know, especially in Exodus, what do they always say?
"We should go back to Egypt."
"We should go back to Egypt." This was not 40 years, 60 years, 100 years after they were slaves.
No.
This is sometimes less than a month after they were a slave. It would be better for us to be back in Egypt. At least there was food there. When it really got hard, at least there's enough graves to bury us all. And how quickly we let our own wants and needs overrun what we know should happen. And, you know, we're hard on the Israelites, but are we any different?
You know, really, hadn't changed a bit.
Are we any different? How often do we complain about what God has given us? It's not enough. It's not good enough. It's not big enough. Are we willing to, how willing are we to really give to God? Who thought about selling their house this week and getting one half the size and giving the difference in the mortgage money to God?
He brings that up in the book, actually. That's what he did.
But the early church sold what they had and gave to those who needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't theirs anymore. They saw needs bigger than themselves. And yes, it's going to take a long time for us to get to that attitude, but are we even thinking about it?
Need to be. Anybody else have anything? Characteristic about Christ? It's Christ's life.
One I thought that was interesting is, even though he could provide everything, he didn't. As a part of his teaching mentality, he made sure that the people found out they needed things. Isn't it interesting that he, on more than one occasion, knew there were 10,000 people following him, and he didn't make sure that there would be enough food? He knew they were going to forget it. He knew his disciples were going to forget it, and he let it happen. For what purpose? To teach them a lesson. He could have intervened and taken care of the problem, and would they have learned anything from it? But one thing about God is, he doesn't want to fix everything for you. He wants you to know you need it. As parents, that's one of our biggest things I've noticed, is we don't want our kids to have anything difficult in their life. I want to make sure that I take care of every need they have, and they don't need to know how hard it was when I grew up. And the problem is, they're not going to know the things you know, because they won't learn them.
Mm-hmm.
best things my dad did for me was not get me a car. It was not make sure I had money in my pocket. He could have provided all those things. He said, I'm not going to.
You have to stand your own 2 feet.
You have to learn the responsibility of it, which is what Jesus did. He could have easily said, guys, don't forget the food. There's going to be 10,000 people. He didn't. He didn't send out a flyer that says, oh, when you come to the sermon today, bring your lunch. Lunch is not provided.
Yeah.
Nor did he make sure they learned the lesson after he did it. He didn't go over it again and again and again. Here it is. Learn it on your own. Well, next time it comes up, we're going to do this again, but you know, I'm not going to pound you about it. We talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
When the opportunity arose, he taught.
Okay.
That's all.
I was thinking about this, too. Did Jesus take risks? Was Jesus a risk taker? When Jesus was going to come into, or when he was coming into Jerusalem that last time, did he have a pretty good idea of what was going to happen very soon?
He told us.
Exactly. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Did that keep him from doing it? Absolutely not. And he brought this point up in the book about safety. You know, that sometimes we, and me especially, can be obsessed with safety. You know, every time Samantha and I pray together, I always say, thank you, God. Like if we're praying before dinner or whatever, thank you for allowing me to come home to my family safely so that I can be here with them. You know, and then I always pray for safety for the rest of the day or the rest of the week or whatever. And I've told Samantha before, you know, hey, I know I pray for safety all the time, but it's not one of those things that just pray for just because. I mean, I'm genuine about that. I'm just thankful that God's brought me back safely and pray that he continues to do that for at least, you know, the rest of the week or whatever, you know. And not that praying for God's protection is a bad thing, but the point that he brings up is, what would bring more glory to God? We need to pray for what would bring more glory to him. It might actually bring more glory to him if something were to happen. If, you know, if I'm out working or whatever and something happened to me, well, the end result of that might bring more glory to him. And that needs to be more of what our attitude needs to be, is God, let happen whatever is going to bring most glory to you. And we can be obsessed sometimes with safety. We go on a trip and just, God, please keep us safe on this trip or whatever. But we need to be focused on what brings glory to God. And sometimes even take risks for that. Jesus was a risk taker. One thing that I was thinking. What about Jesus' mindset? What was Jesus looking toward? What was Jesus looking toward? He had come from heaven, right? And he knew eventually he was going to go back where?
Heaven.
To heaven. That was Jesus' focus. That was his mindset. He was focused on eternity. He wasn't distracted by the things that were right around him. That was not his focus. His focus was eternity. And I think if we were more focused on eternity, then we wouldn't be as distracted about the things around us. Let's see. I know we're running out of time, so... we kind of mentioned this before, but Jesus was prayerful. Jesus made sure that he had time alone, didn't he? And if he got to where he was feeling too surrounded by people, he made sure he was able to get away at least for a little while to go spend some alone time with God. Did Jesus consider his service to God a burden? Obviously not. You know, he took joy in loving God, his Father, and also loving people. There's several other things, but we are out of time. But really the main point of this was just kind of make a list of the characteristics and what Jesus was like. And we're trying to be more like Christ in our lives. So, I guess it's your homework. You can't really do this in class. But think about these questions on the bottom. Which of these characteristics about Christ come more naturally for you? Which of these characteristics are more difficult for you? And what is your next step? What are you going to do next? Where are you going to go from here in your life to try to be more like Christ? So, because we all, it doesn't matter where we are in our Christian walk. Rich, Gloria, you know, the oldest ones in here. If Papa was in here, you know, it doesn't matter where we are, does it? We can always grow closer. There's something that we can do and something we can work on to grow closer. We all have another step to take. So what is your step? For me, I'll just tell you, for me, it's, I do need to work on my prayer life. I think that's kind of where I need to start. Open myself up more to God. Ask God for help for me to love Him more. That's where I need to start. That's my next step. Just let you. All right, thanks for coming.
Right upstairs.